I hope it was just in me, but it didn't sound to me as if all of your heart was in the song. Maybe it is just the Lord. Maybe it's just me. But folk, we come in with such baggage. A week of what Tim was talking about. Continuous activity. And it's a serious and it's a sober, or ought to be. Matter to come into the house of God. He ought to have all your heart this hour, all of it. There ought not to be some little secret compartments that you've got that he doesn't have. You ought to be honest before the Lord. We have not yet attained to the height of spiritual worship. I sure hope that we're on the way, making a little progress. I don't know. But we've got such a long way to go. And the Lord, our Christ, is so worthy of our very best right now. Freddie and Jeanette walked in and asked me when we started speaking if they were hindering me. And I said, no, you can't be hindering me, because I'm not doing anything. He's talking about meditation and thinking. I can't meditate on. I can't think. I'm just kind of empty. Maybe that's where the singing was. Just in me. A little empty. If you'll turn with me to John 15. I sat there yesterday and so wanted to pick up a pencil and jot some things down. And for the life of me, I couldn't. And I wanted to pick up, I've got 4 different books just with daily meditations. And I wanted to pick them up and read. But I felt like if I did, that I would be hindering the Lord or bringing something between the two of us. So I was unable to even read some of the old writers' meditations. You got to go back to the past generations to find anything worthy of your time unless there's somebody out there that I don't know about. But I just sat there. After a while, gave up and thought, well, I'll get up in the morning, this morning, and maybe things will fit together and I'll get something down. Once again, the same thing. It's not that I do not have anything to tell you. I don't know. And how can you talk about that which you know so little about? I don't know if we'll be here long. Sometimes I wish we could get rid of those blasted watches and clocks on the wall and we just get lost. We are so prone to thinking into the next minute. And the next hour. And the next day. There come a time when the King of Kings and the Lord over all lords shall say, time shall be no more. A little second hand on the watch will stop turning. And you and I will step into the vastness of eternity. What it is, what it will be, I don't know. It concerns me greatly for myself. And then it concerns me for each of you and all that would hear. Are we ready? Are we making preparation to get in a place where there won't be another minute or another hour? We'll just be. That sounds a little boring, especially in this society, because we are so conscious of activity. What we're going to be doing? Oh, we're going to be, and you're going to be in eternity. That's an absolute. That's a certainty. What will you be doing? Well, to those that God is saving, there will come the completion of His work at death, if God is not saving, if He is not delivering, then that which was begun in you and is continually in you will be with you. Hell's not going to change a person. Not one bit. If you step out into eternity with lust, our greed, you carry it forever. Some folk think that the rich man had a change of character when he got in hell because he got concerned about his brothers. That's not true. Hell doesn't change one person. You are who you were when God assigned you to that eternity. He was still as selfish as he had ever been, as greedy as he had ever been. And that which seems like a concern for his brothers was still from an old, corrupt, selfish heart. If they come here, it is going to add to my torments. Because they all looked at me. But the child of God will step into that just a moment, which will be eternal. Do you know anything about just the loss of a consciousness of time and who you are, just for a moment? As you are before the Lord, we all perform our little religious duties. We pray. We go to church. But you ever commune with the Lord when you pray? Are there some times when words seem improper to speak? You don't know what to say. You're afraid to say anything because if you do, it'll probably be wrong before the Lord. And you just got that place you are still. Quiet within the heart, quiet within the mind. And you're just still before the Lord. And you begin to know Him. Be still and know me. Well, would you pray with me if you turn to John 15? I'll read, I think, 3 verses, maybe 4. Our Father, Thou art worthy of our very, very best just now. And as one of the old writers said, surely knowing something of this, there is nothing between my soul and the Savior. Naught of this world and worldly goods, naught of friendships, relationships, nothing between. Thou art worthy. And blessed Lord Jesus, we bow to give thanks. For there is this consciousness and reality that will be with every one of us till our dying moment. We are sinners. and the very treasure of God is in earthen vessels. And if we have that treasure, it is due solely to thy work. If we chose thee, it's because you chose us. If we love thee, it is because you loved us first. If we ever make any attempt to serve thee, it's because you inclined our hearts to seek after and to do the will of God. So in ourselves, empty-handed, we stand, we bow, but in our hearts, we give thanks. And worship and exalt and bless thy dear, sweet, and precious being. For anything that we are, it is because of thee. And to thee, Spirit of God, we could not know Christ without thee. And without him, we could not know the Father. He had to introduce us. And blessed Spirit, it has been thou who's been our great teacher and our admonisher, our guide, our check. Our fence around us or our warning on the road. Stay away from the ditch. Stay away from that pit man has dug. Stay away from that trail because it's filled with wild beasts. It's been thee. And to thee, the great triune God, one, yet three, we bow and give thanks. And Lord, if it's pleasing, would you bring dear souls on to know you? And all of us on to a fuller, richer service and a deeper life in the Spirit. I know that's a term that's misused today, but in the spiritual realm, none of us should be afraid of a deeper life. Help these dear sheep on. And those that might not be in the fold, the young ones, I don't know what age, but would you be pleased again in our day to awaken and draw and glorify Christ? Now, Lord, I am at the place where I was yesterday and this morning to pick up a pen. Just didn't seem right. And to close in prayer and try to speak, it doesn't seem right. But you give and you help. And you direct so that I don't stand longer than what you would have as far as speaking. Or not quit for any reason except by thy direction. Do help us this day. Do glorify Christ in our midst. We pray in his name. Amen. Forty years ago, I could have stood before you and told you some of these things, because 40 years ago I knew everything. I guess that's a fallacy of young preachers. You just know it all. And the farther I've gone, and the more I seemingly have learned, the less I know today. I don't know near as much today as I did 40 years ago. Because knowing all things back then, you can't advance. But looking back, all that was in the natural. But I still tackle a subject that you just like to leave alone. I could talk to you about God's sovereignty, bring a lot of verses. And I can talk with you about God's omnipotence and all power, and therein direct you to a lot of verses. I could talk to you about God becoming man. But I don't know as much about that as I do that God is sovereign. For God is all power. Lord help. John 15. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, folks, if I can find out, and I can learn, if I can ascertain that Jesus Christ laid down his life for me, if I can ever get there, then I can begin to build a friendship with him. Please, please get away from this religious thinking that he died for everybody. If he died for everybody, everybody would be in heaven. Are gods not able? To bring about that which the death of Christ was designed to do. Well, we won't blame God. We'll put it upon the responsibility of man. I'm all going to go to hell because that's where they desired to go. I realize that. But Christ died for the sheep. I got to find out if I'm a sheep. I got to find out if my nature from a goat is changing to a sheep. Do I need a shepherd? Do I need the right kind of food, or can I eat anything and find satisfaction? Do I need somebody to get me away from this dead, dying world and carry me to green pasture? I need somebody bigger than I or any human I've ever met with the ability to get me away from the noisy, turbulent waters that are running all around us and get me down to some still water. Do I? I don't have a right to think that I'm included in that man laying down his life for his friends until I can ascertain the reality that God's doing something in my soul, making him precious. And creating a need within for him. I didn't need him one time. Well, I got saved. Find out I need him every single day I'm living. I'm finding out the reality of all the enemies, self being primary. That I got a battle and I'll be overcome. I'll be overtaken at any moment if he doesn't help. If I can get to the place where I'm finding a nature I didn't have and a desire I didn't have. And a reality that 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's bloody tree, he died for me. Oh, I know he did. I'm glad. I don't have any doubts. Well, I doubt about you then. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye, change that to verse 14, John, on that. Ye are my friends. I have no greater delight than to know in my soul that Jesus Christ could call me His friend. I don't need anything else. Honest before God, I don't need anything else. If I know that Jesus Christ, God in flesh, calls me His friend, we live, and this is taking place in my lifetime. We live in a most impersonal world that there has ever been. You call your local telephone company or power company, and you have to go through 428 different voice messages and punch that many numbers before you ever find somebody on the other end that's living. Listen carefully, for our menu has changed. They all got that now. Machines are doing everything now. You can't find folks. Religion's the same. God is the most impersonal being that religion could know. He's off out yonder. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, verse 15. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall, for from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart. Most everybody today is going to hear a humanistic word from the pulpit. A lot in those places are going to hear how God will do, wants to do, shall provide, but it's so impersonal. There's nobody in the land today is calling for anybody to find out if Christ is your friend, if God is your God. Is He? They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They know, they knew what they were going to say today before they ever got there. They don't need God. They don't need the Spirit of God. They've got the form. They've got it down. They've got their points. They've got their outline. They've got their examples.
It doesn't matter where God goes or not, and He's not going.
For God's far beyond the form. If you ever get to the place you think you know God, you hadn't even started learning God. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, opposite of friendship, despise, hate, abhor. They say still unto them, they sitting on the pews, they're hearing the prophets. The prophet has opened all the scripture that he has at that time. And he's speaking out of his own heart. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. Dear one, I warn you one more time. The greatest shock that's going to ever be is when a group of proud, professing Christians who all their lifetime have outwardly followed the Lord, when He says to them, depart. I never knew you. The Lord has said unto those that despise me, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, would God this day could kind of strip us of so much within, that's baggage, that we're walking after the imagination of our own heart, and these prophets are saying, no evil shall come to you. They are basing their message upon an atheistical idea that we are on earth and God's way out yonder and He's too busy to know the details of our lives. Verse 23, this God asked Him, I, a God at hand, you think I'm off out there? And you think because nobody else knows what's in your heart, I don't know. And you think that because I'm so busy looking after the 7 billion people that are on the earth, that some of you can be hidden, you think that? I've got a hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off. God's nearer to you than your next breath. He's a whole lot closer to you than the next thought. He knows everything about you. He knows what you'll be thinking tomorrow this time, whether it'll be vain. Knows whether or not you'll get up in the morning with the intensity in your soul to find Christ that day. Martha was a little like an atheist. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died.
It's in all of us.
Ye are my friends.
Wouldn't you like to get into the midst of a group of people where Christ was their chiefest friend? Some of you've got some relatively good friends, but if you treated them all the time, or at times, the way you treat Christ, you wouldn't have a friend. Ye are my friends. Oh, these little big words. If. You will be saved if. Were these guilty women thine accusers? There's nobody around, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Save ye. And sent ye on an errand to go out and sin no more. And you know what gets me? That even in the best of our doings, we treat our friend, if you found him to be your friend, we treat him so coldly at times and so indifferently at times. It almost overcomes me that he remains faithful. There is no way under God's shining sun that I would ever have kept a friend that treated me as oft the way I have treated him. I would have left him. There'd be history. And he's got 1,000 reasons every day why to call off this friendship and to leave me to myself. And yet every morning I find his mercies afresh and anew. It grieves me that I can treat the best friend that I've ever known the way I do at times. Rude. Cold. I'll give you a few minutes, good friend, when I get these other things done. If he doesn't have the best of your time and the best of your day, he's not your best friend. Well, I just have so much to do. Well, stop. I mean, the world's not going to keep spinning because you stop 30 minutes. Do something to nurture such a friend as Christ. Nurture that relationship. Children, we live in an age of the greatest deception. In many ways, it may be even worse than the Dark Ages. And one of the great delusions in this day is that folk can enter glory without knowing God. Unless Jesus Christ was the biggest deceiver and fraud the world has ever known, nobody's going to go to glory. Nobody. Not me, not you, not anybody else. Not the good Baptists or the good Presbyterians or anybody else. Nobody's going to go to glory that doesn't know God. I'm not talking about knowing some facts about God.
I know about Abraham Lincoln or George Washington, but I don't know them. You read your Bible from the beginning to the end and you can find out a lot of things about God. It doesn't mean you know Him. If Jesus Christ told the truth, John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they might know, that they might know. You better look at whether or not you know Him instead of something that happened to you. I'm glad if your experience was real, if it was true, and if it was genuine. And if it was, you will come on to know God. And this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ. I know that He walked on the shores of Galilee. I know that He walked across the rough, swelling tide and calmed the sea with the word and stopped the winds from blowing. I know that He raised dead men and caused the blind to see and the dumb, deaf to hear and the dumb to see. I know all that. But do I know Him that did those things? You know Me by only that I tell you and that you observe of Me. And no man knows God except Jesus Christ bring Him to Him. Because nobody knows the Father except Christ. You're not going to enter glory without knowing the Lord Jesus. And forming a personal relationship with Him. Now, if you'll give me just a moment. As best you can hear. Forming a personal relationship with Him. The devils came to Him and said, "What have we to do with Thee, Thou Christ, the Son of the living God?" But the children of God say, "What more can we have to do with Thee, dear friend?" And even using that word, it seems blasphemous at times that I would dare call God Almighty friend. I tell you this. That intimate, personal relationship is built solely upon the Lord Jesus. Solely. His life, His death, His resurrection, His blood, and His finished work. Solely. Everything else is outer limits. And it's built solely upon your destruction. You can't keep your identity if He becomes your friend. Tim quoted Barnard. An older man came to him and called him aside and said, I'm older in this than you. And young man, I'd like to give you a word of advice. You catch more flies with molasses than you do vinegar. Barnard said, sir, I'm not trying to catch flies. I'm trying to kill sinners. Unheard of in this day. But your friendship with Christ is going to be built upon the basis of your destruction and your identity. Now, you're not going to heaven. Because you asked him to save you. Because you got baptized. Because you're pretty faithful. You're going to heaven because you know him. And there never has been a Baptist or Baptist preacher yet or anybody else that could teach a man about Christ or teaching Christ. Never has been one. I can lay out a few things before you. But you're going to have to find out for certain of what I'm talking about. And trying to tell you about a friend, and I hadn't told you anything. I don't even know if I've said anything worthy of your time this morning. I hadn't told you anything because the subject is so vast. That I can't even tackle it and feel like a stuttering fool to try to tell somebody that God Almighty calls men and women his friend. Get up from where you are spiritually and come on to know him. And quit fooling around because you made a decision. And come on to know him. For to know him is to love him. So the identity of Christ will be established so in your soul. And your identity will so have been destroyed. That you'll be like Rebecca when Abraham's servant said, wilt thou go with this man? And her brother and her mother said, let her stay with us a while. She said, no, I'll go. All she knew about him, what she'd heard, what a servant told her. And all she knew about him was what the servant brought her as gifts to her for saying yes. Will you go with this man? Will you? Can I plead with you? Can I beg you? To go with him. And forsaking all others, will you cleave to him for the rest of your life?